This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Hey, I want to talk to you this morning, continuing our discussion. And we've been in a series called Friendship in God. And I know last week we kind of took a break a little bit and we were talking about missions. And thank you for all that were part of that. And I got to hear that. But today I want to continue in this part four series on friendship in God. This idea that I think God is calling us to a deeper level of connection. I mean, for years, I always knew there was the fan side of Christianity where, you know, if you're a fan, you just kind of admire Jesus, you believe in him, but he's not really your whole thing, and you kind of have your life, you're doing things. And then there was this level of following God where you became a follower, and that was a deep level where, like, God, I want to obey you, I want to follow you. And, man, I always thought that was the pinnacle. Obviously, it's a great place to be, but the more I started thinking about our 100 days of faith and how we're believing God, or what are you believing God in these 100 days for him to do in your life, I started realizing, I think there's a whole deeper level of trust and relationship with God that is absolutely available to us through the scripture. And it's this level of friendship, this divine connection between you and God that's a whole nother level that is available to you. And we see it throughout the Bible. We see it in the life of Moses, Old Testament figure. We see it in the life of Abraham, whose faith was counted to him. We see it in his life. We see it in David, a man after God's heart. And even as Jesus addresses his disciples, he talks about friendship. And that is what is available to you and I. And I want to challenge us to walk in friendship with God, to be his friend. And so today's message in this number four series is going to be maybe a little more intense than normal, and I just want to encourage you this morning in second service, buckle up. You can be vocal. You can be loud. First service, they're kind of quiet. I expect you to be a little more awake. I watched you during worship downing coffee caffeine, so you're with me. And so I want you to be awake. You should be involved in this talk. But I want you to put on the seatbelts and listen, we're a note-taking church. If you do take notes, take notes. If you don't take notes, start taking notes, because I think God wants to depart some things in your life. And so I want to talk to you about a subject that is really kind of misunderstood and really rarely talked about in the church today. But yet it's so, so important. It's a key part of your friendship with God. David was a great shepherd boy. We know that about him if you know his story. He was the guy that killed Goliath and eventually became king over all of Israel. Not perfect, but yet still was considered a friend of God. In fact, the Bible even refers to him as he was a man who had a heart after God. And David wrote several psalms, but he wrote this one psalm with this one particular verse that, while I was researching this idea of a friendship with God, It absolutely wrecked me when I read this verse. Like, it jumped out to me and I said, that's the key. That's the key for us as followers of God, as Christians. If we want friendship with God, we've got to apply this to our life. And I want us all to take our relationship with God to the next level. And in order to do that, I felt like this particular verse is the one that you and I have to cling to, because it is, to me, the missing ingredient to faith today. So Psalms 25, verse 14 is a very familiar scripture. David writes it this way. He said, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. For those who fear him. We don't really talk about God and fear, or usually put those two in the same equation. But David says, friendship with the Lord is possible for those who fear him. And when they fear him, he makes known to them his covenant. Now, this is what we should want. We should want friendship with God. But hear me. When I read that, it's really very confusing to me, because I'm not normally friends with people that I'm scared of. Right? Like, I don't think you would say, well, he's my friend because I'm afraid of him. You're friends with the ones that you're comfortable with. But I found that this is so vital for your experience to be in friendship with God. So this morning, I want to talk to you about this subject of the fear of the Lord. And I don't normally do this, but as I was preparing this, I'm like, I really like this is one of those messages where there's like part two. And part two will probably be a lot more less intense than part one. But I want to talk to you really level today, honestly today, on the fear of the Lord. Because there is one thing, if there's one thing that's missing in our world today, is the holy fear of God. It's just missing. Now there are unhealthy fears, right, that we all have in our lives. We have these things, and psychologists talk about they depart them unhealthy and healthy, and there are absolutely unhealthy fears that we have in lives. And we think of the word fear, and you hear that, and many times when we hear the word fear, it immediately triggers what are those fears that we have in our lives today, these things that come up to us. And we usually don't say, well, one of those fears is God. We don't really fear God. But there are unhealthy fears. A couple examples I have for you today, like maybe an ocean. Some of us just have fear of the ocean. We're like, our mindset is as soon as my toe hits the water, Jaws is going to eat me. So I just stay away from the ocean because, man, I don't know, there's something in there that wants me for food. And so I'm afraid of the ocean. You know what? The reality is, yeah, you can hear the news, but it rarely happens. It's an unhealthy fear. How about this one? This is my... How many have this unhealthy fear? Like, it's a clown, all right? Get over it. He's not after you, okay? It's a clown. I get it. You know, it's a clown. How about this one? We sometimes, just a black cat. Like, oh, no, it's a black cat. It's October. Don't dare see a black cat in October. It's somebody else, you know? This idea, like, have you ever heard it before, the old thing? If you see a black cat cross the road, like, oh, no, can I just tell you something? It's a cat. That was born black. That simple. How about this one, unhealthy fear? Come on. Some of you right now are ready to leave the room when you see that. Like this idea, like spiders. Now hear me. I kind of get this one a little bit, right? Because it's like, I'm with you on this. Like, some of you are like, well, you don't, spiders are really healthy to have around your house because they eat other bugs and it's really cool. And I'm like, not at my house, all right? So it's just not a good thing. But the chances of this thing actually hurting, in fact, some of you probably have eaten one and not known it, okay? But the chance of it hurting is just not, it's probably an unhealthy fear. And these are just a few examples, and there's so many more, these unhealthy fears that cripple our lives and that really shouldn't. But how many know there are also healthy fears, right? And one of those healthy fears, like here's an example, right? Fear of heights, like especially that type of height. Like some of you are saying, let's go hiking, let's go... be extreme. I'm like, no. All right? That's a healthy fear. You don't want to stand up there and do something stupid. How about this one? This is another unhealthy fear. You don't do this, right? Just not a smart thing. It's good to have a healthy fear of grizzly bears, right? It just really is. I'm just encouraging you that way, all right? Another one is just simply, how about a healthy fear of fire? Like, there is a healthy fear of fire. You've heard the adage, don't play with fire. Like, don't do that. Now there also is an unhealthy fear. Like, if you're at a birthday party and someone lights a candle, don't freak out. You know, my pastor said that's a healthy fear, you know, and blow it out. It has balance. But you have that healthy fear. And last one I have is just maybe just simply weather. Like, you know, the idea is, like, you don't go out and play when there's a thunderstorm, hurricane, tornadoes, you know, those types of things. Like, you just don't do that. It's not like that rain or storms are bad, but they're bad if you don't use wisdom, right? And you're out there messing around. They can hurt you. There is a healthy fear. And I want to say this to you as a church. There is a healthy fear of the Lord. A healthy fear of the Lord that I want to talk to you about today. And that's what David, that's why he writes it this way. He says, if you want friendship with the Lord, it's for those who fear him. You have to have this fear of him. You have to have a fear of, or a healthy fear of the Lord. That same verse in the NIV says it a different way. I want to put it on the screen. This is what the NIV says, Psalms 25. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He confides in those who fear. He makes his covenant known to them. What he's saying is if you want the Lord to confide in you, if you want God to lead you and direct you and speak into your life, then you have to fear him. You have to have this good, healthy fear of him. Like my closest friends, and I think you all would agree, the people you would call your closest friends, the people that are really close in your life, they are people that you are the most vulnerable with. They are people that you can confide in and talk to them and trust them. And in the same way with God, God will get close to you. God will confide in you, but you have to bring something to the equation. And what you and I have to bring to the equation is a fear of the Lord. So what is fear of the Lord? Like we hear that, we're like, should I be like biting my fingernails? Should I be shaking? Should I be sweating? What is fear of the Lord? Like the definition I want to give you today will hopefully change your faith, hopefully challenge your faith, but I believe it's a definition that is clear and applicable, okay? So here's what the fear of the Lord is. It's simply this, if you're taking notes. The fear of the Lord is a reverent submission. It's a reverent submission. To fear the Lord means you have a reverent submission of who God is. And so I want to show you why I think this is the best description of for the fear of the Lord. Like, and it's taken right from the scriptures. It's not Keith's definition. In the book of Hebrews, it describes Jesus' prayer life. The writer of Hebrews actually gives us a glimpse into Jesus' prayer life. And what we have to understand, first of all, this is Jesus. Jesus is part of the Trinity. We know that Jesus is God. What is the Trinity? One God, three persons, totally and completely equal. Yet, Jesus prayed to the Father. He prayed to the Father, and he had this idea. As I prayed, it was a way of respect. It was a way of awe, and even a way of expressing fear of the Lord. Now, we know that he wasn't afraid of the Father, but there was a submission that he had for the Lord. Look what Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says this. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears. Okay, I look at that, I'm like, well, Jesus knew how to pray passionately. He's praying with fervent prayers, with tears. And listen what it says. To the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. He was heard. Why was he heard? Why was he heard? If you want your prayers heard this morning, if you want your prayers answered, there's a key. And the key is simply this. We approach God with reverent submission. Reverent submission. Jesus, equal with the Father, yet he approached the Father with this idea of like, I am going to submit myself to him. That same verse translated in the New King James Version says it this way. Look what it says. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fears. His godly fears. Why was he heard? Because of his godly fears. Same idea. Reverent submission, godly fears. So when you're talking about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about how we approach him as God. And hear me this morning. I feel like the missing thing to your friendship with God is you learning to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. We have to learn how to approach the Lord, understanding his position, understanding who he is and who we are. Now listen, Jesus is not casual. He's not casual that we can move him in the position that best suits our life. And what's happening in our churches and our world today is that we have this position and this person, Jesus, but he is at our mercy. We position him to the position that we feel he should be. We position him in the place in our life that we feel suits us best. And that's not what God requires or is destined for your life. The idea, well, I'll talk to him when I want to talk to him. The idea of, well, I'll activate him when it's convenient for me to activate him. This idea that, well, he's my friend, he loves me, he cares for me, so he'll be there, right there waiting for me when I'm ready for him. When I'm ready for him to be convenient and activated in my life. Can I just say to you, let me reposition your mind today. He is the God of the universe. He is the creator of all things, and he invites us into communion with him. And how we approach him today really matters. It really matters. Leviticus says it this way, right? By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. I must be regarded, and before all the people, I must be glorified. You and I, we come to God. When we come to God, we have to approach Him in the holiness of God. I approach Him with the fact that He is God and I am not. He is the Lord, He's the King of Kings, and I am not. And I would say it this way, if you're taking notes, here's a great thought for you. The extent to which you fear God, to the extent to which we fear God, determines the depth of our friendship with God. So how close of a friend do you really want to be with Him? Like, if you want to grow in your friendship with God, then you have to grow in your fear of the Lord. We have to grow in our submission to who God really is. So when we talk about the fear, Lord, I want to encourage you today. I want to give you some practical things that I think will help you in your life, that will help you in your faith. But hear me this morning. Before I get to that point, I want to get really, really serious if I can for just a moment. I'm going to ask you as a church to lean in for a second, and I want you to hear me and hear my heart for a few minutes. In our world today, we have kind of some categories of people as it relates to faith. You have people who are just like, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in God. I don't believe. You have some people who are like, well, I have one foot in, one foot out. Like I believe in Him, but I have this side of my life too, and so I'm kind of on that level. And then you have a lot of us, maybe even in the room today, that we would categorize ourselves that we are believers. We believe in God. We want to serve Him. He's everything. But I believe this, no matter where you fall in that line, I think all of us have to be careful because we have developed a very casual, passive, happy-go-lucky God. That's what we've developed. And so it's very easy for us to say, hey, this fear of the Lord thing, to hear this comment, fear of the Lord, and to take that and push it to the side because that doesn't equate to the God that I know. And the God that I've been talked about. It's very easy to say, well, we're talking about the fear of the Lord when pastor has lost it. Like he's gone fire and brimstone on us. Like pastor's gone fiery, man. Listen to him. He's trying to evoke some response. It's easy to take that and say, well, that's fear of the Lord. It's easy to push the subject off to the side. But I want you to hear me very closely today, CLC. No matter where you find yourself on the spectrum, whether you're an unbeliever, halfway believer, or all the way in, there should be a fear of the Lord when it comes to your soul. A fear of the Lord when it comes to your soul. When I was growing up, when I was a little kid, man, hell was talked about a lot. Like, we did skits about hell. Some of my friends in here can probably remember this thing called human videos, right? Everything was about the devil and hell. Dramas on hell, songs about hell. Everything was, you're going to hell. Like, I remember probably the first 30 times I was at the altar, right? Which was every Sunday night. Every Sunday night, man, I'm running to the altar. All for one simple reason. I didn't want to go to hell. Like, I didn't want to go to hell. And I'd be like crying out, Lord, no, please forgive me. Help me. And then I would go from there feeling like great. And then I would go through the week and I would tune in Friday night to the A-Team on TV, right? Then I'm like, oh, no, I messed up again. My mind's been polluted. When is Sunday night coming? You know what I mean? I got to get right before the Lord. I got to run back to the altar. But something has happened in our society where now people have stopped talking about the reality of hell. We just don't talk about it. And because of that, the world has lost its fear for their soul. They've lost their fear for their soul. And I want us today to be reminded that your soul is eternal. Your soul is eternal. And the choices and the decisions we make for Christ matters for eternity. It matters. It really, really matters. I was reading this author recently who was involved at some point in their life in an alternate, in a different life. They were living away from God, doing their own thing. And she knew it. She was raised in the church. She had heard about all these things and all the, and yet she decided to do life her own way. And she talks about, it was very descriptive in this book. She talks about the moment where she ran back to the Lord. And it wasn't magical. It wasn't some special place, but it was literally late at night sitting in her room by herself. And she was overwhelmed with the reality of hell. And it scared her so much to that idea of her eternity, what that looked like and what that meant. It scared her so much that she responded in that room, got on her knees, and gave her life back to God. So descriptive that now this one person who had this one encounter in a room by themselves, faced with the idea of eternity, now impacting the world for Jesus. And I think we've missed some of that. Like everything else in our life is more important. Elevating ourselves is more important. And the idea that God will always be there. He'll just be right there waiting when that time comes. And some of us have gotten so comfortable in our lifestyle. We've gotten so comfortable in our life rhythms and the way that we're doing that we've missed the reality that our sin has to be paid for one way or the other. It has to be paid for. There's just no way of getting out of it. It has to be paid for one way or the other. And hear me, church. The only reason that hell even exists is for those who have decided, I don't want Jesus to pay for my sin. That's the only reason it exists. So their idea is, well, I'll just pay for it myself. I know this is way intense, right? Like you're like, why did I come to church today? Can I pick a different day to be here, right? Like pastor said this is about friendship. But it really is. I just feel like we need to get some fear of the Lord back into our lives. We got to get some fear back that when it comes to eternity, it absolutely matters. I think sometimes that fear of the Lord absolutely holds us in check. Like Jesus, right? Now listen, not like hippie long-haired Jesus that's in your mind, right? Not sheep over his shoulder Jesus. Not the good version of God. Like that, not, you know, there's the grumpy guy in the Old Testament and then the really nice guy in the New Testament. Like, I'm not talking about that Jesus. Let me tell you what the other Jesus said. It's just his words, not mine. This is what it says in Luke 12. It says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after can do no more. Look what he goes on to say, Jesus. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And maybe for some of us, that's just a reminder. Maybe for some of you, it's a warning to help some people who are living comfortable with the mindset that God's not serious. I want you to hear me. Your soul matters. Your soul matters. Let's just be those people today. Let's just choose to be those people in church today. Not perfect. Man, we're going to make mistakes. There's nothing perfect about any of us. We mess up. But yet we're people who are about pleasing God. Our efforts are about pleasing him, living for him, allowing him to bless us. And hear me this morning. That life is available to all of us in this room today. Eternity is a reality. And Jesus absolutely provides a better way. Absolutely a better way. I just think that this stuff that I'm talking about, this fear of God, needs to be preached a little more in 2024. One quick thing, and I'll end with this. Jonathan Edwards was a great revivalist. Maybe you've heard of him before. Part of the Great Awakening. And he brings this message to his church in Massachusetts many, many years ago. By the way, this sermon has actually been taught many times in public schools, simply because of how beautifully it was written. But he writes this sermon, and I want you to see it. Now, this is not me picking the meanest sermon I could ever find, right? This is literally probably one of the top five most famous sermons of all time behind Jesus, outside of Jesus and Paul. And he writes this familiar sermon, maybe you've learned about it, with the title called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, I don't think you'd get a lot of friends to come to church and say, hey, my pastor's preaching on sinners in the hand of an angry God. Yeah, sign me up for that. I want to be a part of that sermon series, right? But he preaches this amazing thought. And here's what it says, just a part of it. He says this, O sinner, consider the fearful danger you are in. Wow, great. It is a great furnace of wrath. A wide and bottomless pit full of fire of wrath that you are held over in the hand of that God whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as against many of the damned in hell. Listen to this. You hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing above it, and ready every moment to singe and burn it asunder. Aren't you glad for 2024, right? I don't know if I'd want to sit under that. It's crazy. The reality is this, what is he doing? He's just warning people. He's just warning them. Listen, your soul and eternity is something that you can't take lightly. It's not something you can't play games with your soul and your eternity. And you'll hear me, church, listen, I know you're listening to me. You're like, Pastor, that's really overwhelming. Like, you know, some of you young people are probably like, man, this is really old-fashioned talk. And I know it seems sad. And we here at CLC, we are not a doom and gloom church. And we are not a fire and brimstone church. And here's why we aren't those things. Because while the reality of hell is very real, so is the reality of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Come on. Right? Absolutely. And here at this church, that is available to everyone. Every person. The Bible says it this way, right? John 3. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So we make the decision. We can reject it or we can accept it. And I'm not saying that to scare you. That's not my hope. I don't want you to view God as he's the meanie in the sky. Absolutely, he's full of love and compassion. But sometimes, how many of you know, we just need to be freaked out. You just need it. I need you to come to church and be freaked out every now and then. We just need to be freaked out. I want all of you to walk away, probably not the greatest statement but that we could say as from the pulpit, but I want you all to walk away here this morning with this saying to yourselves, you know what? I don't want to go to hell. I just don't want to go to hell. I don't want my family to go to hell. I don't want my friends to go to hell. I don't want my community to go to hell. And thank God you don't have to. You don't have to. Aren't we thankful for an amazing Savior who went to that cross, who paid for our sin? He paid the final payment to open the doors of eternity to all of us. It's available to you. And here's the good news if you were here just a couple weeks. All we have to do is what? U-turn. All you have to do today is turn. It's always there before you. It's always an out for you. We can always turn to God. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you mess up with this week, there's always a U-turn when it comes to faith. God always provides that way. So you may be heading one way away from eternity. You can always turn back to him. That's the beauty of it. So let me just say this. That's the intense part of the sermon. Are you okay? Everybody still with me? I know some people probably already left. I didn't see you, okay? Security will stop you. Let's talk for a moment, just a brief moment. Let's talk about the church. Here's how we fear the Lord. I told you I want to be practical for a moment. Here's how we walk in friendship, relationship that God has for us today. Let me just give you some practicals if you're taking notes. Number one, here's what we do. We approach God with humility. You want to fear the Lord, you approach him with humility. You want to grow in your relationship, you want to grow in your friendship with God, then humility has to be the posture we approach God with. Like, we don't walk into a time of prayer with God and say, God, you're lucky for the time that I'm giving you right now. Probably not a good statement. God, you should just be glad that I paused to spend time with you. In fact, we do the opposite. We walk into our prayer life saying, God, I am so blessed that you are approachable. Lord, I am so blessed that I can come to your throne room and talk one-on-one with you. God, I am so blessed that I absolutely can approach you. Church, sometimes we got to remind it, it's God, that he is so big, so great, and so amazing, and yet we get access to him. Find that in real life. I almost titled this first point, instead of saying, talk about humility, I almost said the first point should be, know your place. Like, know your place. It's not like, hey, God, I've arrived. Aren't you so glad, God, that I gave you an hour and 15, hour and a half to come to church today? I mean, I could be doing so many other things, but I did it today. Check. How many of you know that's not the greatest approach? Like, look, God, I've arrived. Look, God, look what I've done for you, God. Look, you do you know who I am? I am so busy, God, right? I've got so, aren't you just glad that I stepped away from my busyness to give you a few moments? Hear me this morning, church. It's a football term. We say it all the time. I help coach our football team, and we say this all the time. When you go to tackle someone, our phrase to them is simply this. When you go tackle, low man wins. The low man always wins in football. What is that for us? You have to stay low. You want your life to win? Stay low before the Lord. Stay low before the Lord. It's never about look who I am and look what I've sacrificed for you, God. We walk away and we say, hey, you know what? By the grace of God, where would I be? I stay low. Approach him with humility. This is what the friendship of God is all about. It's not like it's you and I saying, I know his place and I know my place. The proverb writer writes it this way. He says, humility, get the byproduct of humility. Humility is the fear of the Lord. And with that fear and with that humility, it says this, it's wages. In other words, its pay is riches and honor and life. You want to be blessed in your life? You approach the Lord through humility. You stay low in this life. And I just want to challenge us in this because many times when we feel like we can do life on our own, like, I don't really need all this church and faith stuff, and we think I can handle this. I'm just going to encourage you, you will fail. You will fall. You can't raise kids the way that God wants you to raise them in that mentality. You can't build your career the way God wants you to build your career with that mentality. You can't spend your retirement years the way God would have you use those years with that mentality. How many of you can't keep relationships the way God wants you to keep relationships with that mentality? In fact, you can't live freedom and have freedom in your life the way God intended you to be free if you think, I can do it my own way. I've got this. We have to stay low. And I have found that the only way for me to sustain my walk with God is to stay low before him. Why? Because it's very simple. It's biblical. He opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's what you need in your life. I've learned it this way. Great thought. You can write it down. But I think this, a person that is on their face can't fall from that position. Person that is on their face cannot fall from that position. If you want to stay strong with that, with what God wants for your life, we get low before the Lord. God, I'm going to approach you, but I'm going to approach you knowing that you are God and I am not. That you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, and I am not. I can walk in boldness, right? You and I can walk in boldness to the throne of grace because of Jesus. But I walk in humility because I know who God is and who I am. That's how I walk in humility. So we fear the Lord when we approach him in humility. Let me give you a second one, really key. How do we fear the Lord? We fight against familiarity. And this one, I want to camp on some of you in the church today that are even here this morning. We fight against familiarity. If we want to grow in the fear of the Lord, we have to fight against this whole familiar thing. Like I grew up in Florida, you know that, and we were minutes from the beach, and I grew up on the Gulf side, which I think is some of the most beautiful beaches in all of the world. I'm just biased. But it was funny, right, because we would have our friends come over or our family members come and visit, you know, from other places, and they would come visit us, and they would always say the same things. Probably the same things that when you have family and friends visit you here in beautiful Montana in the mountains. But they would say to us statements like, you must go to the beach every day. Or you must wake up and just be full of joy, enjoying the scenery that you get to see every day. My favorite one is this. They would say, if I lived here, I would go to the beach every single day. Our answer was, no. Like, it didn't mean that much to us. Why? What happened? It became familiar. It was familiar to us. We kind of lost the awe of what that meant. Same thing happens in relationships, right? Your marriages and other friendship relationships where it gets older, it moves on in time, and we just kind of lose the awe of it because familiarity creeps in. And this happens in your relationship with God. Many of us once had this awe of God. We couldn't contain how we felt about Him and the excitement that we had. And now we get to this place because it's just become familiar. And we get to that place where, well, you know what? It's just another day. We get to that place where, you know, it's just another have to that I have to complete. It's another motion to go through. Here, let me go a little deeper. It's just another devotion. You know what? It's just another church service. It's just another worship song that I've heard a million times before. It's just another sermon that this guy's up here talking about. I've heard it all before. And can I challenge you? Do not lose your awe of God. Don't lose your awe of God. Do not lose the awe of what God has done in your life, because He has done some incredible things. And sometimes we just have to look backwards and say to ourselves, I remember what God did for me back then. I remember how He saved me. Some of us have to get to that place like, you know what? It's not just another worship song. I remember the first time I heard that song and how it impacted my life. Like some of you have to go and say, listen, you know, it's not just another Bible verse. I remember when that verse really, really spoke to my life. Like we fight against familiarity because there is more to God than we've already experienced. But we can't experience it if we settle for familiarity. I wrote it down this way. Listen, resist the temptation to be overly familiar with a God you barely know. That is tweetable, Instagram, Facebook. You can even put your name next to it. I don't care. Resist the temptation to be overly familiar with a God you barely know. Because you think you know everything there is to know about God, but you don't. It blows me away, church. I'll be real with you. The amount of people I deal with or walk in or sit here and they just cross their arms and they're like, I've heard that scripture before many times. Some of you are probably in this room right now and you probably said, I've already heard all I need to know about the fear of God. It's been played out in my life so many times. Some of you are like, man, we just sang that song so many times. I'm just done with it. It's been played so many times. And I want to look at you and I want to say, really? How about fight against familiarity? How about like we get to that place where we're in awe? Like people move away from our church. Honestly, they move away. I've heard recently and they say, Pastor Peach, we miss Christian Life Center. Like we can't find anything like it where we're living at. And then they say that one phrase to me. I wish we would have known it while we were there. Because familiarity took over. Resist the temptation to be overly familiar with a God you don't really know yet. There's more of God than what you know. There's more of the scriptures for you to be reading to be revealed to you than you've already read. There's more of His character that He wants to deposit into your life than what's already been deposited. We need to have awe. Be excited about more. Be excited to learn more about who God is and let that awe sink inside of you. Listen, I'll do a shameless plug. That's why we do Grow You on Wednesday nights, because we believe that it will help you go deeper in your awe. Don't let the familiarity take over your schedule. If we started young adults around here, man, if you're 18, 30, I don't care, whatever, however you think you are. Young adults, because we believe there's a generation that needs to be in awe and go deeper with God. If you're a 20-something or early 30s, whatever you are, well, listen, tonight they're meeting at the church. Every Sunday night we meet. You need to know the location? Right here. Come be a part of gaining that awe for God in your life. Because how many know this? Simple as said, you get out of faith what you put into faith. You get out of it what you put into it. Fight against familiarity. Can I just say to you, church, it is a new day. God is doing new things, and I am excited. He is just getting started in your life, and He's just getting started in our church. And you may have seen Him do good things, but you haven't seen it all yet. You just haven't. That's why David writes again in Psalms 34, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach it to you. I'm going to learn more about God because it develops a respect and a submission and a fear of Him. I promise, Nick, next week will be a little more funnier, lighthearted, but I got to do this today. Let me give you the last one. So we approach the Lord with humility. We fight against familiarity. And then you know what? How do we fear the Lord? We pursue obedience. We pursue obedience. In other words, we live life His way instead of our way. We live life His way instead of our way. We don't do what is best for us. We do what is best for Him. Listen, Christianity, get me this morning, is not about a pleasure pursuing. Well, I signed up to be a Christian because I was told that all my wildest dreams would come true. That's a movie quote for some of you smart people. All my wildest dreams would come true. The reality is this, like, that's a world concept. That's a world mindset. Like, Christianity is not about pleasure pursuing. You know what Christianity? Christianity is what honors the Lord. What honors the Lord? What glorifies Him? So you and I in this room today, we live in a way that says, I'm submitted to the fact that I obey Him whether I like it or not. Boy, that's not a USA concept. I obey Him whether I like it or not. My wife was just telling me like this week, she was like, yeah, just like this kid at school and they're in chapel and she's like, their one kid was goofing off and she said, I told him, you need to move here. And the kid looked at her, seventh grader, and said, why? What do I do to it? And I love it. She told me, she goes, she looked at him and said, because I said so. Can I tell you something? I think God looks at you and says, that's what obedience is. Whether I like it or not, God says, because I said so. The good news is His said so has something behind it. It has blessing. It has fulfillment. It has joy and peace and hope. And eventually it has eternity all behind it. Whether I like it or not, I'm going to serve Him. I want to raise up a church. I want to raise up a church that's not after pleasure seeking. But I want to raise up a church that's after the Lord pleasing. It's about pleasing the Lord. A place where our drive is to please God. Like when we're all gone, because we're all going to be gone someday. When we're all gone and people say, what was CLC? What was Christian Life Center all about? And some leftover remnant will say, oh, that was a bunch of people who wanted to please the Lord. That's a bunch of people who just wanted to please the Lord. I would love for the phrase to be, that was a group of people that feared the Lord, that feared God. And you know what? Paul addresses this in Philippians. He says this. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. You've always obeyed. But then he finishes it with this. He says this, continue then to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out with fear and trembling. Now, I don't know about you, I'm just speaking for Heath, but nobody likes the words work out, right? You're like, you're talking about workout. It's not even January yet, Pastor. We don't like the word workout. Like, workout is frustrating. You know why workout is frustrating? Because you ever notice that you put effort into working out, but if you stop, I mean, literally, if you pause for a few days, you feel like, oh my gosh, I have to start all over again. Like, just that pause moment has a way of making you feel like, all that I've done, now I got to start over again. And Paul is telling us this same thing. He's saying, when it comes to your relationship with God, when you submit your life to God, it becomes a daily working out of that relationship. You're working it out every day so that you can become more like Christ. And how do you do that? How do you work it out every day? With fear and trembling. It's this idea, guys, listen. It's this idea that I care enough. I care enough about this relationship. I care enough about my friendship with God that I don't want to mess it up. I just don't want to, because I care enough. I value it enough. I don't want to mess it up. And let me be clear, right? Like, if we mess up, it doesn't mean it's over. We're all going to mess up. It doesn't mean that, like, oh my gosh, I messed up. I got to start all over again, right? It's kind of like, it's like your marriage. If you're married and if you've been married for any time, you've had an argument. You've been, you know, it's like a marriage. Maybe you said something or you've done something that you shouldn't do. How many know that doesn't mean that you're not married anymore? You're still married. It just means that maybe you've affected the friendship or the communion of that marriage. Well, it's the same with God. And Paul says it's not over, but what you need to do is you just need to work it out. You need to pursue that friendship. You need to go after it. You need to pursue obedience. There's a famous preacher. His name was Thomas Adams, and he said it, oh, beautifully. And this is what he said. No man more truly loves God than he that is most fearful to offend him. Like, you don't love God. No man more truly loves God than he that is most fearful to offend him. Like, do you live your life like that? Like, God, I value enough that I don't want to offend you. In fact, I live in fear enough that I would offend him. When Rachel was little, I don't know where she picked this up, but anytime, I mean, she was like 2-3 years old. Anytime I would be upset with something, she would look at me with these big brown eyes and she would say, Dad, are you happy with me? How do you, what? Like, I never said, absolutely, I'm mad with you. Get away from me, little girl. All she had to say were those words, Dad, are you happy with me? Oh, done. Like, the idea, I think that's how God in heaven looks at you. It's like, man, I love you. I'm happy with you. Shouldn't we reciprocate that and say, God, I don't want to offend you because you love me so much, because you care for me so much. How dare I offend you? And so that's what he's saying to us. If you really love God, you will obey him because you value that relationship more than anything else. So what did Jesus tell his disciples? Like, Jesus, he said, hey, friendship with God is available to your life. But disciples, here's how it's available for your life. He writes it. John, he says it. You are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you do what I command. In other words, it's not my way. If I want to go my way and then expect God to be close with me, it just doesn't work that way. We fear the Lord. We get in awe of him. We respect him. We get excited about him. We submit to him, reverently submit to him. We come with the mentality of, you know what, God, you're in charge of my life. I don't want to offend you. I want to be in awe. And we approach him with that humility. We don't fear eternity because we live with the pursuit of intimacy with God. And hear me, church, as I close this morning, the best way to have intimacy with God is to obey him. Is simply to obey him, to live a life that is truly honorable to him. So let me say this. The wisest man to ever live was a man by the name of Solomon. And he wrote the Proverbs, if you've ever read the Proverbs, but another book he wrote was a book called Ecclesiastes. And in this book, there's a scripture that he summed up all of life. Like, with one statement, he took life and he put it in one statement. Like, the idea of what is life all about? And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you would say, well, life is all about family. Life is all about my comfort and, oh, I can't do this and I can't do too much of that because it's about me. Sometimes life is about, well, it's my legacy, or it's maybe some like, well, my life is about being involved in my kids' life and my grandkids' lives, and that is the goal of life. And we can go on and on, making money, having stuff, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But hear me this morning. That's not what Solomon would say. That's not what Solomon would say. He would say it this way. Get this. Ecclesiastes. Now, all has been heard. Here it is, the conclusion to the matter. Here it is. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. To fear God, to keep his commandments. That is the duty of all mankind. There is your life summed up. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is your duty. And how many of you know when we fear God and we keep his commandments, all those other things tend to fall into place? The family, the extras, the provision. But the paramount for us this morning is that we would fear God and keep his commandments. That's what your life should be about. Why? Because it's the fear of the Lord that brings us into friendship with God. Let's have a reverent submission this morning. Let's have a reverent submission to him today and say, God, bring me into an awe of you. Would you stand with me this morning as we close out? And I'm just going to ask you for a moment, right where you're sitting, would you be so kind, maybe just close your eyes for a moment, just to tune out everyone else around you. Would you just have that moment with your eyes closed to maybe where you're sitting, to ask God to develop, ask yourself, do I have a healthy fear of God? Am I here this morning? Am I in awe of God? And with your eyes closed, you're just doing that, make this self-evaluation between you and the Lord and allowing the Spirit to work in your life. But maybe ask yourself, hey, God, have I been walking in humility? Maybe you need to ask yourself, have I gotten familiar with the things around me? Have I gotten too familiar with the things of God? Maybe the other question you ask yourself, man, honestly, God, am I just obeying you? Maybe I've lacked in disobedience. In a moment, we're going to worship, but as we worship, I'm just asking with your eyes closed, maybe make this your prayer today. God, would you search my heart? Would you search me today, Lord? Do I fear you? Do I stand in awe of you today? Are you everything? So, Lord, move in this place as we worship you this morning.
It's only because
with you. Help us, Lord Father, to develop that. Lord, I think it begins with a desire to want it. Lord, it's going to take effort. It takes work, absolutely, to get to that level. But Lord, I pray that you would see this group of people and you'd see this church pursuing that level of connection, that level of trust, to Lord, that we could be your friends, that you would call us your friends. So Lord, I pray today that you would give us, every one of us in this room, a fresh fear of God. Lord, we, no doubt, you are a God who loves us and cares for us. You sent your son Jesus to die on a cross, to willingly lay down his life so that we can have that freedom today and we can experience that love. But Lord, in the midst of that, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to have that reverent submission to you today. That God, knowing that you will direct our lives as we submit ourselves to you, develop that inside of us today. Cause us to go deeper in our love and our faith for you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to close with this today. If you're here this morning, man, that fear of God for you begins by just saying, God, I need to give you my life. I need to submit totally my life to you. Maybe if I'm at a place where I'm away from the Lord, we are separated, and we need to come back together. This is your opportunity to do that, and we're not going to embarrass you in any way. You're right where you are. This was a decision really between you and God, not between us. But if here today and you say, hey, listen, I need that reverent submission in my life. I need to commit myself to Him. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that's you, so I just want to know who I'm praying for. If you just put your hand up, put it back down, and I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Come on. Amen. So, Lord, right now, there's those around the room who say, God, I need to submit to Him, my life, everything. Right there where we're sitting, God, we just say, hey, God, would you come into my life? Lord, would you consume every part of me so that I can live at a greater level for you? If you're here in that room and that's you, whether you put your hand up or put it down, you can just simply say, God, help me to have reverence for you. And now, Lord, I submit my life to you. I pray all of us, not just those who raise their hand, but all of us in this room, that, Lord, you'd forgive us, that you'd purify us, that, Lord, we confess to you that, Lord, in many ways we have had a casual view of God. Help us to change. Help us, Lord, Father, to live at that place of awe, in that place where our lives, we don't want to offend the Lord, but we want to glorify Him. And in return, He will bless us and provide for us. And, Lord, we'll see the increase in our lives because we're committed to you. So, Lord, I pray that today. May the face and the joy of the Lord shine upon your people today. May we walk out of this place encouraged, not discouraged, but encouraged that we serve an amazing God, that nothing is impossible for Him. So, Lord, we honor you today. We bless you. Lord, watch over those who need you this week, facing situations, health crises, and decisions, and all those things. Help us today to let you be that light before us. We honor you and we love you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, together. Come on, can we give it up to the Lord this morning? Things, don't head out yet. Let me just say a couple real quick things. We have a prayer corner over here. If you need prayer, anything you're facing, you just want, maybe you don't even face anything, you just want prayer. We have a team that would love to pray with you. Maybe you gave your heart to the Lord this morning. You just want to tell someone about it. Great opportunity to do that in this corner. If you're new here, kind of new at facing us, and my wife and I'd love to meet you. We'll be down here in this front area. We'd love to say hello to you. And then lastly, I'd let say this. Check out the shoebox reading. Today is Pastor Britt and Gabrielle's last day with us, and they're going to be out in the foyer. If you want to hug a neck, scrub a beard, whatever you want to do, they're there for that. I encourage you to go and greet them and hug their necks and pray with them. God's got good things for us, and we're excited for the seasons ahead, right? God, nothing catches Him by surprise, and we're excited about that. So I want to encourage you with that. Hope to see you this Wednesday. Go visit the connection about our Fall Frenzy, all the things happening, membership, everything. God bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday night or Sunday, next Sunday. God bless. Bring somebody with you. Take care.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.